So who are the Christadelphians is the question. One answer is, I am a Christadelphian. So I belong to this Christadelphian church congregation here in Reading. And most of the other people in the room are Christadelphians connected with Reading Christadelphians. Now, this talk is not particularly about Reading Christadelphians. It's about Christadelphians in general. The Christadelphian community, who we are, what we believe. And I am hoping that the other Christadelphians here will help me out a little bit. They can dispute any controversial or personal views that I put forward and say, well, that's not what I think a Christadelphian is. Or you can help me along to say what I've missed out. When we ask questions these days, like who are the Christadelphians, where do we get the answers from? Anna knows this. AI, of course we do. We go to ChatGPT. And this is, I shouldn't spend too long on this. I thought, well, the first thing I'll do is I'll ask, I think it was Gemini actually, for a picture for my title slide. So I said, well, come on, we want a picture of Christadelphians. And it's not bad, but they're all sitting down to sing the hymn, which seemed a bit strange to me. The hymn board being at the back of the hall rather than the front was a bit off as well. Apart from that, they sort of look like Christadelphians. It looks like a Christadelphian hall. It had another go, and really that's worse, isn't it? So this time we've got the guy giving the talk is at the back of the hall. But there's somebody else at the front of the hall. There's a Bible on the table rather than a lectern. I don't know why the people on the front row don't want to join in with the hymn. But yeah, so they're doing a Bible reading while everybody else sings a hymn. So give up on that. AI is no good. I need to answer the question properly. So I heard another answer to how do you answer questions? And of course, you're right. Before November 2022, when ChatGPT came out, we used to go to Wikipedia, didn't we, in the olden days, to find out the answers to questions. So I don't know what you're going to think of my approach this evening. What we're going to do is go to Wikipedia, and we're going to work through what it says about Christadelphians and comment, see if it's right, see if it's fair. So there we are. Wikipedia has a page on Christadelphians. It's actually too long for us to review all of it. So what we will do is sort of look at the opening paragraph, which is their summary of Christadelphians. And we'll work through that. And I hope that by doing that, we'll sort of get an idea of who the Christadelphians are. So it starts, the Christadelphians tells us how to pronounce it. You've heard me say it a few times already, so you know the Christadelphians are a Restorationist and Unitarian Christian denomination. So need to think, first of all, what Restorationist means. The Christadelphians are blank on this. So you click on Wikipedia to find out what a Restorationist is. It says that these are, you know, a kind of Christian who believe that the early beliefs and practices of the followers of Jesus were either lost or adulterated after his death and therefore require restoration. I've got some more nods a bit from Christadelphians there. So I think the idea there is that some Christians have gone astray from original Christianity, and we need to get back to original Christianity, need to restore beliefs. I think that's what it's saying. So I think Christadelphians probably would say that about themselves, about ourselves. We're trying to get back to the Bible, New Testament practice, not follow traditions that may have come later. We want to restore the original. Okay, so it then goes on to say that we are a Unitarian Christian denomination. Yes, some smiles, some nods. Yeah, and you have to be careful with this. There's a thing called the Unitarian Church, and we're not the Unitarian Church. So, but what do we mean by Unitarian? So biblical Unitarianism. So This is saying that God the Father is one singular being and that Jesus is God's son, but not divine. So it's emphasizing the oneness of God is what Unitarianism is. And we'll come on to see, well, what's the opposite of that, I suppose? What does it mean if you're not a Unitarian? Incidentally, so a little bit of a interaction. If we wanted verses in the Bible or passages that say there's one God, say, are there obvious ones? I don't mind if you don't know the reference, but know the words.
One God and one mediator
Yeah, so that's right. In 1 Timothy 2, it says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's that. There's also in Deuteronomy, isn't there? Deuteronomy 6, where it says the Lord, God, the Lord is one. That's right. Okay. And then it says we're a Christian denomination. Are we happy with that? Yeah, we're getting nods from that. Okay. I mean, what does it mean to say you're a Christian denomination? It's a little bit small there. But if you click through to Christian denomination, it says it's not like a cult or a sect. A denomination is usually seen as part of, it's a bit chopped off the Christian religious mainstream. Are we part of the Christian religious mainstream? Further down the page, it does list some denominations. Christadelphians are listed there, specifically as being a Christian denomination. The reason I was sort of saying, well, do you all agree with it, is I've certainly come across people who have said you're not Christian as a Christadelphian. So I just sort of did a random search. Can I find someone saying that on the internet? And yes, I can. So here's somebody in a Reddit discussion on the internet who's saying, well, I've met a Christadelphian and they're not a Christian, and how do I deal with them? This person that I've found calls herself a Christian. She is in fact a Christadelphian. I hadn't heard of Christadelphians before I met her, but upon talking to her and doing some Googling, I discovered that Christadelphians are not usually considered Christian because they deny basic tenets of Christianity, such as the Trinity. And I think we'll see this coming up a bit. A thing about Christadelphians is that we deny the Trinity. We are Unitarians, Unitarian Christians, as we've already said, and therefore do not affirm the Nicene Creed, which is a statement about the Trinity, which most Christian denominations would affirm. And as you can see here, some would say, well, that's kind of the boundary of being a Christian, is whether you affirm that. So this, I don't know why I think she's a lady. Anyway, this person doesn't want to affirm that a Christadelphian is a Christian. Okay, maybe we should have addressed this earlier on. Christadelphian is a bit of a mouthful. What does it mean? That word, Christadelphian, the name it says here means brothers in Christ. It's got a little explanation. It's from some Greek words. You may wonder why we had the reading from Colossians at the start. Really, it's because that's the closest place in the Bible that we get to having the word Christadelphian appear. In the second verse, it was the Apostle Paul. He was writing to the church in Colossae, and he said, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ. And in the Greek text, it says something like Christadelphian. It says Christo, so it's got Jesus' name or the title Christ. Christ is the start of Christadelphian, and then Adelphois means to the brothers. So the Adelph bit is brothers, the Christ bit is Christ. And I might say Adelphe is a sister. So Christadelphian is something like a brother or a sister in Christ. That's what the name means. You might ask, well, why have we got a Greek name? I can't answer that. Maybe we should just call ourselves brothers in Christ. But that's what our name means, brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, we're getting to know ourselves a little bit. What does it say in the second paragraph then? Christadelphians believe in the inspiration of the Bible. Okay. So I click through to biblical inspiration. It says that it's a doctrine of Bible teaching which says that the people who wrote the Bible, although they're human beings, their writings are in some sense the word of God. And it's associated with beliefs like biblical infallibility and the internal consistency of the Bible. And a verse which is used to sort of demonstrate that is one from 2 Timothy chapter 3, which says all scripture is inspired by God. So it goes on to say, well, that means that God breathed the words of scripture. So it's the belief that the Bible is a special book, it's God's book. Although human beings wrote it down, it's kind of perfect because God told them what to write or caused them to write what they wrote in some way. So that was the first of the things that we believe, inspiration of the Bible. The next one, it says, I don't know why, I don't know who ordered this list, but the next one is the virgin birth. Okay, so that's a belief about the origin of Jesus. It says that Jesus was conceived through divine intervention, and so it's by virtue of his birth that he is the Son of God. This paragraph also says that most Christians hold that Mary's virginity was perpetual. There's some raised eyebrows. Adrian doesn't think that's right, and let's see. So what does that mean? So this isn't something that Christadelphians believe. It says most Christians believe in the virgin birth, believe that, Jesus wasn't Joseph's son, but she was God's son. But they also believe this other thing, and it's the teaching that Mary was a virgin before, during, and after the birth of Christ. So Christadelphians don't believe that. Why don't we believe that? Yeah, because when you read the Gospels, you find that Jesus had four named half brothers, so children of Mary, and also sisters, plural, it says. So Mary had children who weren't conceived because the Holy Spirit came upon her. I mean, it seems to be a direct contradiction of this doctrine, as far as I can tell. So we believe in the virgin birth, but we also believe that after Jesus had been born, Mary had other sons and daughters. Okay. We believe in, I've sort of missed out the status of Jesus as the Son of God. Maybe we'll sort of come back to that. But we believe in believers' baptism. So that is the idea that when you're baptized, you should already believe. Yeah, so it's kind of the opposite of some churches have the practice of baptizing or christening infants, and then later on they believe and kind of affirm their belief. But believers' baptism is that you repent, you make a conscious profession that you want to be baptized, and then you are baptized. So that's what Christadelphians do. Why do we do that, everybody? Why do we believe that? Yeah, so we've got example. Jesus himself was baptized by John. Somebody say something else? Huh?
We're commanded to do
We're
it.
commanded to be baptized. Yeah, that's right. And we've got examples of it happening, haven't we? There's things like the Ethiopian eunuch or Peter telling people to repent and be baptized. So this is how it is in the Bible. So I think we're seeing that we go to the Bible, try and follow Bible practice. And one of those things is believing and then being baptized. Okay, we believe in the resurrection of the dead. Yeah, when that's interesting. When you click through to this, it says, oh, well, this is something that isn't just a New Testament teaching, it's an Old Testament teaching too. So, although the doctrine of the resurrection comes to the forefront in the New Testament, it predates the Christian era. And gives one or two, three examples from the Old Testament of resurrection. So, that's the idea that after you've died, it doesn't have to be the end for you. You can come up out of your grave, you can come back to life again. And an example of that in the Old Testament there is from Daniel. Many who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. So Daniel is talking about people who are dead, but he says, well, it's just like being asleep. God can make you wake up again and come out of your grave and come back to life. I don't think Wikipedia is doing a very good job of telling us about the doctrine of resurrection. That there's, of course, there's more than one resurrection in the Bible. There's the very important resurrection of Jesus, which is central. And then there's also the fact that we can be raised to life, and we don't need to perish eternally. And probably both of those come under the teaching of the resurrection of the dead. They're Bible teachings. They're what Christadelphians believe. Okay, Christadelphians believe in the second coming of Christ. What does that mean? It's the belief that Jesus Christ will return to earth after his ascension to heaven. We're all happy with that. Yeah. Why do we think that Jesus is going to return to the earth?
Chapter one.
Yeah, so when Jesus went into heaven in Acts chapter 1, the angels that were there, two men that were standing there, said, this Jesus that you've seen go into heaven, he's going to come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. And when we go through the New Testament, that seems to be what Paul is talking about. I think famously in Thessalonians, in every chapter of Thessalonians, he seems to make a reference to the second coming of Jesus. So we believe that Jesus is going to return to the earth. We believe in the future kingdom of God on earth. Now, when I clicked on this, it actually went to a page about the millennium, which is fine. Christadelphians do believe in this. So let's talk about the millennium just briefly. That's the belief that there will be a time, a messianic age on the earth prior to the final judgment. And future eternal state of the world to come. And it says, well, that's based on a passage in Revelation. So it's saying that there's going to be some period on the earth where Jesus is reigning, and yet the final judgment hasn't come yet. I think if I were to say more about what was it, the kingdom of God on earth, future kingdom of God on earth, I would probably go to some other passages actually in the Bible that talk about the fact that the world is going to be transformed. This earth that we live on is going to be transformed. People are going to live there. So we could go to an Old Testament passage, Isaiah chapter 2, where it talks about Jerusalem being the capital of that place, people wanting to go there to worship God. Or we could just think about the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, where we pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, it's a very well-known, famous prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples, asking that on the earth the kingdom would come and things would be as they are in heaven, and yet that would be the state on the earth. Okay, future kingdom of God on the earth then. However, they reject a number of mainstream Christian doctrines. So we've already touched upon this, for example, the Trinity. So we went to the page about being a Unitarian. This is the page about believing in the Trinity. Sort of talks about the fact that it's got tri in it, that the word has. So there's three parts to God, is the idea. Three persons, as they're called, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it says on that page, the developed doctrine of the Trinity is not explicit in the New Testament. The doctrine of the Trinity was first formulated among the early Christians in the mid second century and later. So Wikipedia is alerting us to the fact that this isn't something that's spelt out explicitly in the Bible. It's something that people thought about later on, tried to express the best way of describing God, and sometime later, this idea of the Trinity arose. So Christadelphians will then say, well, what was the original belief? And this is where we'd end up disagreeing with many other Christian denominations, I think. So others would say, well, although it's not in the Bible, it's kind of implicit there. You could have worked it out from the Bible, or maybe it's not written down, but actually people believed it, something like that. Whereas Christadelphians will say, well, if it doesn't seem to be there in the Bible, we think that people would have mentioned it or made it more explicit if it were important or there. I will, if you want to sort of pursue that in more detail, the original idea is something that you can look at sort of historically, see what people said. When did they start talking about a Trinity of gods? When did they start saying that Jesus was God the Son? And you can sort of go back, how early did these things come? And there's a book here, quite a chunky book, 411 pages by somebody who is a Christadelphian, actually, Thomas Gaston. And it's got rather a mouthful in the title, Dynamic Monarchianism, Is This the Earliest Christology? So, but I don't think I want to go into exactly why that those are the words there. But Thomas is arguing that actually the beliefs that Christadelphians have about God are the earliest ones. So that's to say that God refers to God as the Father, that Jesus is his son, and that he is his son by virtue of the virgin birth. So he didn't exist before his birth, and came into existence at his birth. And from that moment, because his conception was by God's power, by God's spirit, he was the son of God. And then he received power from his father. So he was derived power from God. And Tom sort of quotes from early writers to show that he thinks that that's the, at least it's plausible that that was the first belief that Christians had. Okay. It's also got something else that Christadelphians reject here. We reject the immortality of the soul. Okay. Well, what's that about? So that's the idea that immortality is a conditional thing. It's not that just by virtue of being a human, by having a soul, that you live forever. It's not the case that you've got a part of you which is immortal, goes on living, and perhaps could be condemned to eternal torment or bliss, depending on how you've done. That isn't the belief which Christadelphians hold or that they see in the Bible. It's the opposite belief, which is that a human soul is naturally mortal, and it's in contrast to the concept of natural immortality. Okay, maybe I'm going to do my thing again. Why do we believe this? Why do we think that souls are mortal and not immortal? Yeah, there's a passage, there's a whole chapter in Ezekiel where it's talking about souls, and it says that the soul is going to die if it's a bad soul, basically a sinning soul, it'll be destroyed. Yeah. And there are other passages you can go to in the Psalms. There's a whole series of Psalms where it's quite clear that after your death, you can't praise God. You've got no consciousness, you can't praise God, there's no joy for you, those sorts of things in the Psalms. So we do believe that you can be made immortal, but we don't believe that everybody inherently is already immortal and has an immortal soul. Okay. So we sort of went through the first two chapters, first two paragraphs there. Then there's this bit about the origins of Christadelphians and how many there are. This is going to allow me to segue actually to another very reliable website, which is the BBC website. Okay. So the BBC in 2009 estimated that there were about 50,000 Christadelphians in 120 countries. I've no idea whether that's right. I suspect not, but what do I know? No, nobody really counts us. So we ourselves, Christadelphians, don't know how many of us there are. I think we make estimates of how many of us there are. I think this is still, we're still in Wikipedia here. They're holding to this 50,000 around the world figure, and they break it down to say there's 8,000 in the UK. So that's quite a small denomination compared with some of the bigger and well-known ones. And you can see that there's actually quite a lot in Africa. Places like Mozambique and Malawi have a fair number of Christadelphians. In other English-speaking countries like Australia and the USA, there are thousands. That's sort of spread around everywhere, but not completely evenly, is what that is saying. Okay, switch over to BBC then. Okay, quite small. They've got a summary. It's saying much the same in the summary as we've already seen. Christadelphians are a non-Trinitarian millennial Christian group, a lay community. And again, it's saying where this name is coming from, Christu Adelphoi. Okay, so what have they got to add to the party, the BBC? They've got a bit about our practice here. So I thought that was worth us looking at. They say we don't have elaborate churches, robes, or ceremonies. Not worn my robe today. I don't know whether our building here is elaborate, but you know what they mean. We sort of haven't got priests with robes. We haven't got stained glass windows and spires and things. I think we're probably further down the page, it will come back to that. There's this figure of 50,000 members in 120 countries, and I'm kind of working down this BBC page. Okay, so we don't accept some mainstream Christian doctrine. God is not a trinity. We've already had Jesus was and is the Son of God, which we kind of skipped over, but that's to do with how you understand who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit, which is the third part of the Trinity, I think Christadelphians would be happy to say is the power of God manifested in different ways. So we've already talked about the virgin birth being an example of the Holy Spirit power, causing Mary to conceive. I think we didn't, when we were talking about inspiration, we went to a verse in Timothy about inspiration. We could have also gone, there's one in Peter which talks about holy men of God being moved by the Holy Spirit to write down what they wrote. So the Bible coming into existence is by God's power as well, by the Holy Spirit. Okay. We Christadelphians believe that Jesus now lives in heaven, will literally return to the earth. We've had some of this, haven't we, already, to set up God's kingdom, that we need to be baptized, we'll be judged by Jesus, live in the kingdom forever. Okay, so that's just confirming that the BBC and Wikipedia agree. Okay, so on the thing about the second coming, they help us and say, well, an example, another example of why we should believe in the return of Jesus is because Jesus talked about it in a prophecy. He said, you'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with glory, in Matthew 24 and 25, Mark 13, Luke 21. And it says that Christadelphians believe these signs have been fulfilled. Well, what signs? And consequently, that Jesus will return soon. Have I got any confirmation from Christadelphians about that? I think generally we get excited about signs and want Jesus to come soon. I think we'd all also recoil from trying to set a date when Jesus is going to return. We don't think it's something that you can predict like that. We often talk about the Jews being a sign. You know, it seems to tie together what's happening to God's people, the Jews, and God's overall purpose. And one of the things that needs to happen before the second coming or before the kingdom of God is that the Jews needed to return to the land of Israel. And they seem to need to accept Jesus, but whether that's actually when he actually comes, probably is from Zechariah. So what I'm saying is we notice that the Jews still exist, that they have been scattered around the world. A large proportion of them has returned to the land of Israel within the last century, and that's part of Bible prophecy, and it's connected with God's ongoing purpose, the return of Jesus, the coming of the kingdom of God. And so, you know, in terms of centuries and centuries since Jesus, that's a recent thing that's happened. It causes us to think that the return of Jesus is near, and some of the other things in those prophecies where people are afraid of wars and so on, we would probably connect with the situation in the world now. Christadelphians based their faith on the Bible. So we've already talked about inspiration. The Bible should be read as a whole, even, and understood through the plain meaning of its words. So I think that's fair to say about Christadelphians. We're a Bible-based community. We encourage Bible reading. We run seminars to teach people how to read the Bible or encourage people to read the Bible. Many of us read the Bible every day and make a habit of doing so because we believe it's God's word, inspired by God, and it's God speaking to us. And so it deserves our attention. Okay. So Christadelphians don't dwell very much on their history. Most Christadelphians don't. But I thought it was only fair to sort of say this, but both pages have got a bit about who are Christadelphians from the point of, well, where did they come from? And they talk about one John Thomas, who is named as the founded Christadelphians in 1848. And so he's got a little story about John Thomas. He was born in the UK, emigrated to the USA, partly because he thought that there were too many priests and things in Britain, so he'd go to America instead. But on his way to America, he was shipwrecked, thought he was going to die, thought therefore that he owed it to God to find out about God, and devoted himself to religious studies, is the long and short of it. So you've got a gentleman, a man who we don't regard as a prophet or anything, but he decided he was going to look at the Bible for himself, try to work out what Bible teaching was, and founded a group. It goes on to say that that group became a recognized movement, took their present name, Christadelphians, in 1864, as a result of partly as a result of the American Civil War. So they needed, we'll come on to it, they wanted to be conscientious objectors, oh, it says here, and refused to fight. And they needed to say, well, what are you called then? Who are you? These people that don't want to fight. And so they coined the name Christadelphians. And that's what this is saying. It's trying to say that Christadelphians are a new thing from America in the 1860s or something. I don't think many Christadelphians would think of us in that way. I mean, sure, that's where the name came from, but I've already said that we believe that we're going back to original Bible teaching. We're trying to go back to New Testament Christianity. And so there's the possibility for anyone through the centuries to believe those things that are in the Bible. And now we hope that we're trying to do that. But we're not saying that for 1800 years, nobody believed that. Anybody could go to the Bible and learn about God and what Jesus had said. Okay. So just a bit about organization then. We don't have a central leadership or hierarchy. So nothing like the Pope or the Archbishop of Canterbury or what else in the Jehovah's Witnesses, they have the Watchtower Society. We don't have that kind of structure. A lay community don't have priests. And we try to follow the way that early Christians organized themselves. People who are serving in our community are not paid, generally speaking, and sort of organize themselves into committees and things to publish magazines, books, do missionary work, and so on. And then locally, our congregations, we tend to call ecclesias. That's just another Greek word from the Bible. It's the word that in most Bibles is translated church. Some Bibles might translate it as a congregation or an assembly. So a group of Christians, and as I say, we often call them ecclesias. And within those groups, we call ourselves brother and sister, living up to this Christadelphian name that we have for each other. So we regard each other as a family, and there's a closeness, I think, that we all feel of care for each other, and I hope Christian love between us. Each ecclesia is self-governing and autonomous, so there's not that there's one group or ecclesia somewhere that tells all the others what to do. You might say, surely that is a recipe for chaos. And the answer is probably yes, it is. We seem to manage to get on doing it that way. We take it in turns to lead the worship, various functions, and so on. Okay. What about our worship? If you come along to the Christadelphians, what are you going to find going on? Well, every Sunday, and we had this today, this morning, we had a breaking of bread service. So that's, taking bread and wine to remember Jesus. He commanded his disciples to remember him in that way. So we do that. And I think that's probably true. Our services are fairly simple. We don't have any liturgy or set prayers, but we do sing together, we pray, read from the Bible, and we don't call our talk a sermon, but we tend to have some kind of Bible exposition, some word of encouragement and exhortation at our services. And then it says there's other things going on too. So if there are children around, a Sunday school, there might be a meeting on a Sunday evening like this one. Other meetings during the week for Bible study and prayer. Often we meet in our own halls, but worship can take place anywhere. And so it could be in somebody's home, or it could be a hired building that doesn't belong to the ecclesia. Okay, some little things to do with sort of how we live. We believe that we should obey the law. God has put the rulers in charge of us. And so if we disobey the law of the land, in a way, we're disobeying God. On the other hand, we don't join the armed forces. We believe that Jesus' message was one of peace, and that we shouldn't be fighting. And so in times of conflict, we object on conscientious grounds. don't take part in political office, don't vote in elections. So that's just trying to live in this world, but not get too involved in it, not wanting to be important ourselves, not wanting to ch choose the best for ourselves, but to let God's purpose prevail. And also there's the fact that we regard Jesus as our king, and he's the perfect ruler. And so we don't choose human rulers who may be in opposition to what Jesus wants. One or two other things here. Christadelphians don't actually prohibit alcohol, tobacco, and drugs, but use them rarely, if at all. And I have to say that alcohol probably is the most popular of those three. I'm not saying that we're drunkards, but I think rarely are Christadelphians teetotal. On the other hand, it's not common to find Christadelphian smokers, although you do find them. Gambling is discouraged. Okay, sexual morality: don't have sex outside of marriage. Have one marriage partner. I think it means at a time. You know, if so, widows are allowed to remarry, but also this highlight down at the end: only marry other Christadelphians. So we do think that that's what the Bible teaches. You've got Old Testament parallel where the Israelites are not meant to marry into other nations, and then it sort of seems to carry on into the New Testament where it says there are dangers yoking yourself unequally with an unbeliever. And from a practical point of view, it's results in partners pulling in different spiritual directions. Okay. That was meant to have a caption, I think, saying Sunday school. I thought I'd put up a picture of a Sunday school, two different ones. I think this one's in the Philippines on the left, and one somewhere else on the right. Have homes for the elderly, both in the UK and elsewhere. So there are Christadelphian homes. Olivet is one in Birmingham where Christadelphians are looked after with other Christadelphians. Some websites, very random selection, but down at the bottom right, you might recognize some of the people in the photo because that's our own website. I think I've probably said enough. So mostly I've gone through Wikipedia and the BBC there. Now, Christadelphians, what are the obvious things that I haven't said that have been missed out? What do you think should have been in this talk? I think there are some th things. I mean, doctrinally, about Bible teaching. Yeah. So Wendy says going to heaven. I think she means we don't think that believers go to heaven. We believe that Jesus has gone to heaven, and we sort of touched on it. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, but we believe that the kingdom of God will be on the earth. So the reward after death is not going to heaven. It's not that your soul is immortal and immediately after death you go to a better place. Rather, it's that we die, we're buried in the grave, we wait for Jesus to return and raise us from the dead to be in the kingdom. So don't believe in heaven going. Yeah. I do. I
Some say something about us accepting the Bible.
Yeah. So we talked about inspiration a bit. Yeah.
Almost should say that, but
Yeah.
it didn't come out.
Okay.
It looks like anything.
Yeah. What I thought was weak, and of course is central, is that Jesus died for our sins, that we can have our sins forgiven. That wasn't really said. Maybe it was thought to be implicit that all Christians believe that. And another thing that I feel I should mention, I was a bit surprised it wasn't up there, is that Christadelphians have a different view from most denominations about what the devil and Satan are, the source of evil. So most denominations would say, well, there's a supernatural being in opposition to God, perhaps a fallen angel. He's got a couple of names, devil, Satan, maybe some others. And that really the whole struggle of God's purpose is to defeat the devil and Satan and kind of bind him at the end. Christadelphians would say, well, the Bible does talk about that, but when it does so, it's talking in a figurative way. It's personifying this enemy that we have. And the reason we say that is there are some very clear passages where it talks about the source of evil, the source of sin coming from within us. It says we get tempted within ourselves, and that leads us to sin, and then that leads us to die. And so when it starts talking about you've got an enemy that you've got to struggle against, Satan or the devil, in most cases where that language is being used, it would be talking about an internal struggle against sin, I think is how most Christadelphians would believe that. The other thing I think probably we should have said is we try and preach. We're told as Christians to go and tell other people about the gospel, and it's something that we try to do. I mean, the talks like this are part of that, but various ways that we try and spread the word of God. Okay. I'm sort of a bit trying to be interactive. Is anybody want to say, Ian, you definitely should have said something else. Does anybody want to ask a question? If not, I shall.
I think one of the things you sort of mentioned as well was the whole nature of opportunities. That just didn't come out much in the texts
I
there.
was aware when I was preparing this talk, it's a bit of a weird way to prepare a talk, to take somebody else's structure and do it. But there we are. That's what I've done. I hope it's a sort of honest way to look at how other people describe us by going to Wikipedia. Okay, thanks.